Let's continue on together in our study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We're turning the corner, heading into the last lap. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 this morning. Young people, I want you to think about this scenario as you're turning there to Romans 6. Or, I'm sorry, did I say Romans? Ephesians 6. Did I say Romans 6 before? I don't know. We're in Ephesians 6 this morning. Young people, I want you to think about this scenario with me, though. Let's pretend that you're sitting in a lobby at the high school that you're about to go to, or maybe to the college you're about to go to, and your parents are in the dean's office. Okay? The dean is the representative of the school. He's the authority who kind of watches over. He governs the path that all students are to be on in that institution. And again, let me emphasize, you're in the lobby, okay, waiting in the lobby. Your parents are in his office. They're listening to the plan that the dean has for you. Your parents are in the office with him. They're receiving the plan that he has laid out for you as a student. They are in his office finding out what their role is in the plan that he has for you while you sit in the lobby. You're not in the office. And you have sweaty palms. I'll say wiping them off. The decision makers are talking. And you're not. The plan for you is being hashed out. I don't know if I mentioned, but you're in another room. What do you think about that? Do you like that? I just made myself nervous thinking about it. You know, the older you get, the more you want to be directly involved in and directly involved with the plan for your life, right? The older you get, the more you want to be involved in it. The older you get, the less you like it when plans just happen to you without you at least knowing about it or hearing about it. The older you get, the more you want to be directly spoken to regarding the plans for your life. Well, do you know what I love about God's Word, young people? It's this, that even though the whole Bible is written to each of us, including children, it has specific sections in it where it is specifically addressed to children, to you, to young people. The book of Proverbs is a great example, right? And this morning, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 is another place in the Bible where God speaks directly to you. Do you know what this means? This means that someone with a whole bunch more authority than any dean of any institution, and even with more authority than your parents, wants you in the room when he talks to you about his plan for your life. He wants you in the room. He wants to talk to you. God is not content for you to be in another room while he lets your parents know what his plan for you is. That's not what it's about. He's just going to address you directly this morning through his word. He's going to address you personally through his word. He wants to have a direct, personal conversation with you, young people, this morning about his plan for you, his design for you. So before he directly and personally addresses you with his plan for you in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, we should pray and make sure you're ready to hear from him. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray for ourselves, all of us. We want to have hearts that are eager to hear. And even as you may speak more directly to a segment of population within this church, Lord, we do not want to be arrogant and think that there is not something that I might not be able to, that I need to hear from you, even though I may be an older child And not all of these things may apply directly to me being older than some of my younger friends here. But Lord, especially help the young people, help the children to understand what you are saying through your word, to have a heart that is humbled before you, a heart that is eager for you to be God and for them to not be, a heart that is eager for you to speak. And Lord, in your words, there's comfort. And where you have commands for us and where there's place for us to be obedient to you, that's where our safety lies. There's no safety outside of your commands. There's no safety for us anywhere in disobedience. There's only safety and goodness and wellness for us in your commands. And I pray, Lord, that you would convince the young ones of this, even this morning. So meet with us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Here's God's plan for you. Children, direct address. Just like when he directly addressed wives. Just like when he directly addressed your dads as husbands. Now, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, since God is directly and personally addressing you through these words, I this morning would like to directly and personally address you, young people, children, in this sermon. So what is this passage and this sermon all about? I have it for you up on the screen, young people. It's this: obedience to my parents must bear these six marks that we see in these three verses here. Now, before we jump into these six marks of obedience to parents, we need to answer two quick initial questions before we can get to these other marks of obedience. And the first question I want you to think about, young people, is whom does Paul mean by children in verse 1? Because he doesn't come out and specifically identify the specifics of this group of children. This word has a broad range of meaning and application in the word, and in Scripture it can refer to younger ones, like the ones that just left to go to Next Generation Ministries, to have God directly address them there with God's word. And this word, children, in Scripture can also refer to grown adult children who are out of the house kinds of children too. And there are two things in this passage that I think help narrow down and help us to find where the age parameters are on these. The first is this: since Paul is directly addressing these children, I think it's safe to assume that he is addressing children who are old enough to understand his language, who are old enough to understand his thinking, his thought, his rationale. And young children can get this. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. You can say that to a young child and they'll get that. And that's probably about as specific as we can go on the young age range side. On the other side of the age range, the greater context here from chapter 5, verse 22 down to chapter 6, verse 9 is oftentimes called the household code or teaching or laws in the church. In other words, what Paul is doing here is he's thinking of people who live under the same roof together, and he addresses them in pairs. You know, husbands and wives live together in a house. They live under the same roof. And so do children and parents. They live under the same roof. And even in first century Rome, slaves and masters lived in the same home. And so it's safe to assume that on the top age or range here, Paul is most likely including those children here in his address, the ones that still live at home. Okay? So the children here are old enough to be addressed directly by Paul, and they are most likely still living in the house with their parents. So let's just pause for a moment here and think about grown adult children, because many of you are find yourself this way. You're single and you don't live under the house anymore, or under your parents' house anymore. And what you're going to see here is that two main commands are put forward in this passage. The first one is in verse 1, and it's to obey your parents. The second one is to honor your father and your mother. Now, when a child leaves the domain or the rules or the leadership of a father and a mother in a home to go live on their own, or when a child leaves in order to cleave to a husband or a wife, which of these two commands obey your parents and honor your mother and father, which of those two undergoes an adjustment? It's to obey your parents. When you leave your house and you go live on your own, the way that you obey your parents begins to adjust. Which one of the two is to never change? You honor your mother and your father always. Do you understand? So even though Paul may be addressing some things here about children who are young and still under the roof in the house, if that's not you, I don't want you to check out and think this doesn't apply to you, because it applies to all of us to some degree. If your parents are still alive, it applies to you. You need to honor your parents. So, second question that we have to get through to before we can really tackle the marks of obedience is, what does it mean to obey? What does this word in chapter 6, verse 1, to obey, mean? It carries with it the initial idea of hearing or listening with attentiveness, but that's not all that it means. Obedience doesn't just mean, yeah, I heard what you said, right? It proceeds on to the fuller idea of now putting yourself under those words that you heard. Simply, to obey means to put yourself under the authoritative words, in this case, of your parents. To obey them means you're going to put yourself under their authority and under the authority of their words. That's what God has designed your parents to be. He's designed them to be the authority from Him over you. And God therefore designed that the words they speak to you also have authority over you. And then God has designed your role as a child to be one in the home who is under authority, their authority. And therefore, God has designed your response to their authority and to their words of authority to be that of obedience. You hear their words, and you place your life and your response under them and under their words. And by the way, kids, when you struggle to obey your parents, when you're struggling to obey your parents, the struggle is never merely a horizontal struggle. I'm just really struggling with my dad right now or my mom. It's never merely that. God is the one who gave your parents authority. God is the one who didn't give you authority in the home. It's also a vertical struggle. It's primarily a vertical struggle between the child and God, between you and God when you have a difficult time obeying. Why? Because disobedience to your parents takes issue with God and His design for your parents and for you as a child. Disobedience questions God's wise design that parents have authority and children don't in a parent-child relationship. So when you're struggling to obey your parents, the first place you should deal with is in the vertical relationship. Deal first with your struggle against God in your heart. Struggle there to align yourself. Pray to God to help you align yourself with Him and His good and right and wise design that your parents would be the ones in authority. And you know what? As you align yourself with God and His view of your parents, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the horizontal struggle with your parents. It won't any longer seem like a rock wall that you're trying to climb over. It's going to become something much more pleasant. So to obey here means to put yourself under the authoritative words that you hear from your parents. It's to put yourself under their authority. And now we're ready to tackle the marks. And the first mark of obedience can be found by asking this question: is my obedience to my parents soaked in Christ? Is my obedience to my parents soaked in Christ? You say, well, what do you mean by soaked in Christ? What kind of language is that? It's this: obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. The Lord in Ephesians always refers to Jesus Christ, and this prepositional phrase, in the Lord, it's descriptive, and it's describing something, but it's not describing the parents, it's rather describing the obeying that you are supposed to give to your parents. In other words, this verse does not say that you are to obey your in the Lord parents, meaning you only have to obey your parents if they're in the Lord, if they're Christians. It doesn't mean that. Rather, what is being said here is this means your obedience to your parents needs to be an in the Lord obedience, an obedience that is in Christ. It's soaking in him. Now, have you ever taken a bite of steak? And I can make anything come back to steak. Because I was born and raised in Nebraska. And I don't have an allegiance to the Cornhuskers. Because they are a lesser entity. See, they are to husk the corn that you feed to the cattle that you eat. So, have you ever taken a bite into a steak and the flavor was just so amazing that you were led to ask, did you marinate this in anything? What's this been soaking in? You see, young people, your obedience to your parents, it's to be marinating in something. It's to be soaking in someone, Christ. That means that your obedience is influenced by Him in every way. Your obedience to your parents originates from Christ. Your obedience to your parents, it's empowered by Christ. Your obedience to your parents, it reflects Christ. Your obedience to your parents makes other people think of Christ when they see your obedience to your parents. Your obedience to Christ, it glorifies Christ. It makes Him look great. This kind of obedience is the obedience of a Christian and of a believer. The obedience that God has in mind for you to express to your parents is the obedience that Christ has for the child who trusts Him to save him from his sin. Do you have this trust in Christ? You see, this command to obey your parents in the Lord, it instantly requires you to start thinking about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Where are you at with Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord? That means, is He your master? Is He your master? Has the master paid for your sins at the cross? Has the master satisfied God's anger against you by taking it on Himself at the cross in your place? Has the master forgiven you? Has the master made you into a new creature in Christ? Has the master given you a new identity in the gospel that actually, you know, yeah, obeying my parents, I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm not just okay with that, I want to do that. You see, it's a new identity in Christ that can obey a parent in the Lord. Your parents, when they see your obedience to them, they get a taste in their mouth of the obedience you give them. Your siblings that you live with, when they watch you obey your parents, they get a taste in their mouth about the kind of obedience that you offer your parents. When your friends watch you in your home obey your parents, or when they're talking with you in the car on the way to whoever's house, when at practice and you're talking about obeying your parents, and you're at the mall and you're hanging out and you're talking about obeying your parents, your friends get a taste in their mouth about your obedience to your parents. They can tell every single time that your obedience has been marinating in something. And the question is, what? Does your obedience lately, do you think, young people, that it's been soaking in Christ, or has it been soaking in something else? Has your obedience been soaking in Christ, or has it been soaking in resentment toward your parents? Has your obedience to your parents been soaking in Christ or in disgust? What about soaking in impatience? You can soak your obedience to your parents in impatience, because that can be what comes in everybody's mouth. They taste is, that's an impatient child, obeying mom. You see how important it is that other people around you get a taste from you, from the obedience you offer your parents, they get a taste of Christ. I'm going to give you several things. I'm going to encourage you to try to do several things when you leave here today. Why don't you go home and ask your parents if they get a sense that your obedience is soaking in Jesus Christ, or if it's been soaking in something else? Listen, the older you get, the more you want people to directly speak to you, and you want to be involved in the plan that God has for your life. It's time to man up. It's time to woman up in this, and it's time for you to take responsibility for your obedience to your parents. And so here you go. Go home and ask them, Mom, does my obedience to you feel like it's soaking in Christ or in something else? Take responsibility and trust God with what he wants to do with your life. There's so much more coming on this. So that's the first mark of obedience. The second mark of obedience can be found by asking the question, is my obedience to my parents, number two, motivated by righteous conviction? Paul explains the reason why you need to obey in Christ your parents. Here's the motivating reason. Verse 1, for this is right. For this is right. Now, that's not complicated. That's not difficult to understand. God's word simply reveals that the motivating reason for children to obey their parents is simply because it's right to do it in his eyes. The one in the parent-child relationship who really needs to be personally convinced the most about this, that it's right to do this, is you, young person. It's you, the child. Look, your parents, they need to have personal conviction before God that the right thing for you to do is for you to obey them. They need to be personally convinced about that. But them having that personal conviction about you obeying them doesn't necessarily motivate you, does it? But if you, young person, will develop this personal conviction that, you know, it's right for me in the sight of God to obey my parents, then guess what? You will find that to be a very motivating thing. You'll be motivated to obey your parents. So one of the places for you to start in your evaluation of how your obedience is going is whether or not you personally have this righteous conviction that you must obey your parents, that you do. It's right in God's sight to do this. It's so much easier, I know this, it's so much easier to start your evaluation of your obedience by looking away from your own life and looking at your parents' life. It's easier to do that. But don't do that. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. It doesn't say, obey your parents in the Lord, for they have been understanding parents. For they have been good parents. For they're cool parents. Doesn't say any of that. If you're waiting for your parents to clean up their act before God, and then once they do that and you find them to be a little bit more agreeable, then you'll find that as motivation to obey them. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to take that and you need to confess it to God as sin. And you say, well, why? I'm obeying. Yeah, but you're obeying not because it's right, but because it's more pleasant and agreeable to you. The more you look and examine your parents to find motivation to obey them, the more you look at them to find motivation, the more that you will actually be struggling against God in your obedience to them. Why? Because he just wants you to simply obey them because he says it's right. So develop this personal righteous conviction. It is right for me to obey my parents. Ask God to help you develop the personal conviction that it's just right in his eyes for you to do this. Let me put it to you this way. Why do you obey your parents? Why? A good answer is, well, because in God's eyes, it is right. And before God, I have become personally convinced that I must do this. That's the right answer. And that's the second mark of obedience. The third mark of obedience can be discovered by asking, is my obedience to my parents, number three, generated by honor? Generated by honor, verse 2. As Paul proves that it's right for children to obey their parents, and he proves this by quoting a familiar Old Testament command from the Ten Commandments, for children to honor their parents, we actually get to learn a very important relationship between obedience and honor, between the first command in verse 1 to obey and the second command to honor. We learn an important relationship between them. But first, let's talk, young people, about what it means to honor somebody. What does it mean to honor somebody? It means first that you acknowledge that they have a God-given place of importance or authority. You acknowledge that. But not only do you acknowledge it, you also respect them for it. You esteem them for that high, important place that they have. You love them for it. That's what it means to honor somebody. And what's the relationship of obedience and honor to one another? Get this. This is really important. We talked about it in the introduction a little bit. Honor for your parents is bigger than your obedience to your parents. And honor for your parents lasts much longer than your obedience to your parents does. Honor is primary. Honor that you have for your parents is primary. And parents, don't flip out when I say this. Your obedience is to your parents is secondary. Okay, hold on. Honor for them is primary. Obedience to them is secondary. Let me explain. If, young people, if you truly honor your parents have your obedience. They do. If you truly honor your parents have your obedience. You will obey them. In fact, the only time you should not obey your parents is when they ask you to sin against God. Otherwise, you honor and you obey them. In fact, the thing to pray to God for is to produce in you what is primary. God, please work in my heart. Give me a heart that wants to honor and does honor my mom and my dad. Give me a heart that honors them, that acknowledges that you gave them an important place in my life, a place of authority in my life. Now help me to esteem them as such. That's what you want to cultivate in your heart is honor. Because again, if you honor your parents, they're going to get from you obedience. If you truly honor your parents, the kind of obedience they get from you is genuine obedience. Now let me flip it the other way. Listen, children all the time can display the wrong kinds of obedience, like selfish obedience. Children can do this, and you know what it's like. You'll obey because you know that you're going to get what you want. Selfish obedience. Though that child is obeying in some way, shape, or form, is that child honoring his or her parents? No. Children can display a reluctant obedience. Reluctant obedience. You know, you'll obey, but man, everybody in the house is going to feel it all the way to the last moment. Now, you're going through the motions and you're obeying, but are you honoring your parents? No. You see, though a child obeys his parents' wishes, it is possible in that child's heart to not honor at the same time. It's possible to settle for some kind of a lesser, shallow obedience, and it may mean that you're not honoring your parents at all. Have you been doing this at all lately, kids? Have you been tossing at your parents a thin obedience all the while you really haven't been honoring them in your heart? You see, this is why we say that honor is bigger. Honor is bigger than obedience. And honor is primary compared to obedience. It is possible to obey in some way, shape, or form and not honor your parents. So, rather, if you honor your parents first, you will obey them. Obedience is the fruit of honor. The fourth mark of obedience can be discovered by asking this question. Is your obedience to your parents, number four, emptied of favoritism? Emptied of favoritism. You say, well, what do you mean? Notice what it says in verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and your mother. How does God compare fathers and mothers when it comes to receiving honor from you? Is one of them more worthy of honor than the other in God's eyes? No. In God's eyes, your mother is as equal to your father when it comes to receiving honor from you. In God's eyes, your father can make as much of a claim on honor from you as your mother can in God's eyes. This means then, guys, listen, that your father should not feel like your mother gets honor from you, but he gets tolerated. Or vice versa. You don't honor one and get 50% credit. You only get credit if you honor father and mother. And it's very likely, I understand this, listen, and your parents understand this. They knew this. You can ask them about their parents, your grandparents. There's one of your parents who more likely gets you better than the other one. There's one parent that gets you more than the other one ever will. But regardless, you are to make sure that you honor both of them equally and genuinely. Do you understand? And it's very likely that one of your parents will have a personality that's just more like yours. You guys just click. Regardless of that, you are to make sure, according to God's word here, that you honor both of them equally and genuinely. It's also very likely that one of your parents will be more calm and collected when you blow it. Regardless of that, you are called by God to equally and genuinely honor both. So, here's another part of your assignment to go home today. Ask the parent that you think doesn't get you. Go ask that one if they feel as honored by you as the other parent does. Ask the parent whose personality differs greatly from yours if they feel as honored by you. Ask the parent who struggles to find patience with you when you blow it if they feel as honored by you as the other parent feels and gets honored. Again, in God's eyes, your mother is as equal to your father when it comes to receiving honor from you. And in God's eyes, your father can make as much a claim on honor from you as your mother can. So don't honor one and tolerate the other. Because you know what? Any unsaved, rebellious kid out in the world can do that and does that every day. You are to offer your parents an obedience that is in Christ. Put your obedience in Christ by putting your life in Christ. And you will begin to offer to your parents equal, genuine honor. The fifth mark of obedience is discovered by asking, is your obedience to your parents inviting fullness of life? Inviting fullness of life. You see this in the rest of verse 2 and 3. You say, what do you mean by inviting fullness of life? Notice what Paul teaches here in these two verses. This command to honor your father and your mother is a commandment that is tied inseparably to a promise. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that, verse 3, so that it will may be well with you, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. You see, honor your parents, and this general promise of a good quality of life and length of life will result. That's the promise. Honor your parents, and this general promise invites a good quality of life for you and a lengthy life for you, young people. And Paul says that this command is the first command with a promise. This is one of the Ten Commandments, and that means it's the first commandment of God there found for us to come along with a very unique and specific promise to bless the ones who obey the command. Now, this was true for the children of Israel in the Old Testament under Mosaic law, and what we're discovering here in Christ and in the church, that it's still God's heart to attach the same promise to believing children in the church under Christ's laws for us. So God attaches his promise to his commandment for a very important reason. Listen, this is so important because this is a part of the passage where you're going to learn more about God than any of the other part of the passage. There's something here about our God that's lurking just right underneath the surface. And if we can get down close and take a look, it's going to come out who he is, what kind of a God he is. Listen to this. He attaches his promise to this commandment, young people, for you to honor your parents in order to lift up your hopes. To lift up your hopes. You know what he points you to? He says, a good life. I have a good life for you. I've got a long life for you on this earth. Honor your parents. I got a promise for you. honor your parents, and you'll invite this promise into your life to work itself out. He offers for you some motivation. What kind of a God is that? Who looks at you and says, let me dangle a beautiful carrot from me out in front of you. Not a false carrot, not a fake carrot, but a real one from God Almighty for you. He does this to give to you a greater happiness in your obedience and in to your parents and your honor for your parents. He does this to make your obedience to them more pleasant. You don't find commandments everywhere where God says, you know what, I'm gonna bless you in this kind of way, a good life, a long life. He gives it to you, kids. He gives it to you, young ones. This is the one that sets the stage. It's the first one. Your present life on this earth, it matters to God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of this command. This is the God who's calling you to obey your parents and to honor your mother and father. He cares about your life right now. He does. He's got a promise for you. It's bound to the command. Obey the command and you invite the effects of the promise in your life. Listen, you cannot conclude that God does not care about the kind of life that you live right now. You can't conclude that. God's word is directly opposed to you on that, if you conclude that. He has tied wellness of life. He has tied a peaceful life. He has tied length of life to honoring your parents. Do you see the kind of God that we have? Young people, God wants you to have a good life now. He wants you to. And you know what? I'm sure that you'd like the same. Wouldn't you? I don't know anybody who gets up and says, you know what? I wish today life would just totally be a train wreck for me. That would be awesome. Nobody says that. Nobody wants that. That's what you want. But did it ever cross your mind that you would get fullness of earthly life through honoring your parents? That thought probably has maybe escaped you a little bit. I want you to think about a kind of person I'm going to describe for you. I want you to imagine a young person, let's just say a teenager, begins to think that everybody outside of her house is cooler than everybody inside her house, especially her parents. The people outside of her house are far more interesting than her parents. So she begins to play leapfrog over mom and dad, over her parents, in order to spend much more time with the ones that she thinks are wiser and more interesting, cooler, more enjoyable. So she plays leapfrog over mom and dad to get out of the house to be with the others. And she begins to hold those people outside the house in higher honor than mom and dad. In fact, she's more concerned about what will happen if she dishonors those people outside of the home than she is concerned about if she dishonors mom and dad. And she would even tell you that, you know what? She feels alive when she is outside of the home having played leapfrog right over mom and dad. She feels alive when she's out there with those people who are more interesting and more enjoyable, that she has greater agreement with. She feels alive when she's out there. Well, wait a minute. What does God's word say about where fullness of life is found? Okay, let's just be real clear here. God's word says that fullness of life is found for young people as they honor their mother and their father equally. Fullness of life, length of life, a good life. That's what God says. And this girl has heard somebody tell her that fullness of life is found outside of her parents, outside of her relationship, over and beyond her parents, out there honoring and lifting them up. Oh, that's fullness of life. Okay, so here's our choice. Here's what God has said, and here's what somebody else has said. And what are you going to do, young people? What are you going to do? You either believe God and you obey, or you are outside of the fullness of life that He says you can have in this world. Don't play leapfrog over your parents in order to honor others outside of your home more. Don't do it. Look, you can honor them, but you need to honor your parents first and most, because there's a promise tied to this honor, and it's that you will have a good life. There's no promise for fullness of life out there as you dishonor your parents or honor them less than other people. There's no promise of fullness of life. There's one last mark of obedience to talk about that really comes from all three verses and really what we've been talking about in the whole section. We discover this last mark of obedience by asking, is my obedience to my parents liberated from conditions? Number six, liberated, freed from conditions. Young people, take a real hard look at verses 1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. God is addressing you here. His design here in these three verses is for you to obey and to honor your parents. Now, as God has been addressing you here, your obedience and your honor for your parents, how many times has God mentioned your father's parenting skills? Or lack thereof? Did your moms? Do you remember when we were going through and we were going through husbands and wives? Young people, remember that when we were talking about that? You remember how God addressed your mom back in verse 22 of chapter 5 about submitting to your dad? Do you remember that? We said there that a huge temptation for your mom is this, to make her submission to your dad dependent on your dad's character or his obedience to God. She puts a condition on your dad. That's a huge temptation. Can you imagine your mom saying to your dad, well, you know what? When you become the man you're supposed to be, then I'll submit to you. Can you imagine your mom saying that? Meet this condition and then I'll submit. You see, your mom, she could tie her submission to your dad's own obedience and character, but that would be wrong. It'd be sin. Why? Because in Christ, your mom's submission has been freed, liberated from your dad's character, from anybody else's character, from your dad's obedience to Christ. She does submit to your dad because she's in Christ, and it's right. You remember how God addressed your dad back in verse 25 of chapter 5 about loving your mom? And we said there that a huge temptation for your dad is to make his love for your mom dependent on your mom's character or obedience to God. Can you imagine your dad saying to your mom, you know what, when you become more lovely, I'll love you. You meet that condition and then I'll love you. Look, your dad could do that. He could tie his love for your mom to your mom's own obedience and character, but that's wrong for all of the same reasons. And now here we are in chapter 6, verse 1. And now it's your turn. You face the same temptation that your mom and dad face with each other. You face the same temptation in God's design for you. It will be a huge temptation for you, young people, listen, to make your obedience to your parents or your honor for your parents dependent on your parents' character or obedience. That would be like you saying to your parents, you know what, mom and dad, when you become the kind of mom and dad that you're supposed to be, then I'll obey you. Meet that condition and I'll be the child of your dreams. Now you could tie your obedience and your honor to that. And you know what? Maybe, is that what you've been doing? You can do that, but that's wrong. It's just as wrong as a wife putting conditions on her husband before she'll submit. It's just as wrong as a husband putting conditions on his wife before he'll love her. It's just as wrong for you to put conditions on your parents before you'll obey and honor them. Why? Because in Christ, your obedience to your parents has been freed, liberated from conditions, liberated from a kind of life that says, you know what, when you do this, I'll do that. You've been freed from that. So, in verses 1 to 3, you focus on you, children. And you focus on your obedience to your parents. You focus on your own character. You focus on honoring your parents. And you do it because it's right. And maybe what this is revealing to you is maybe you need to do some serious thinking about where you are with Christ. It's an opportunity to reevaluate where you're at. And you know what's so hard about this? You have to focus on you. You got to put the blinders on and go, I'm not going to look at Dad. I'm not going to look at Dad. I'm not going to look at Mom. I'm going to look at me. I'm going to look at me. And all of the time, all you can think of is you're so worried about maybe how they'll take advantage of you, or they won't pay attention to what they're supposed to be. And then you can just, that just starts creeping over and coming around the blinders, and you just start thinking about that. Listen, trust God. Trust God with your life. Trust God that as you focus on you, that He might actually be powerful enough to work on Dad. Mom. And see, parents, we're going to talk about this next week in verse 4, right? This is where you have to trust. I'm going to work on me. I'm going to be the right father or mother that I need to be. Trust God. Your mom has to trust God with your dad. Your dad has to trust God with your mom. And now you get to trust God with your parents. And you get to trust God with what He wants to do in your own life as a child. You would never want your parents to parent you based on your performance, to come to you and say, you know what, we're going to feed you when. And most importantly, you would never want God to treat you that way. God doesn't treat us that way. God doesn't put conditions out in front of us. He didn't do that with any one of us personally. Rather, and as we looked at all of the conditions that He could have set up, and we shook our fist in His face and said, I ain't interested in your conditions, that's when He died on the cross. When we would have broke down any conditions. And He was gracious towards us. Listen, the Christian home should be the most gracious place a community could find. Because there's people extending that same kind of grace to one another, not setting up conditions for one another, but loving each other and focusing on themselves to be what God desires them to be. Let's pray. Now, as we pray, we're going to sing a song again that I pick a lot for us to sing after our sermons, because it is so appropriate about the role of grace in our obedience. Grace clothes me with power to do what is right. We're not asking you this morning to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you just try and you just buck up and you can do it. No, we're saying you need to turn to the cross. You need to turn to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and find His grace to be strong and sufficient so that you can obey your parents and honor your parents. Lord, please do that even now. Help us as we sing to remind ourselves that the obedience that we need to offer as children, the honor that we need to give to our parents, can only come from your grace. You are good. You are kind. We are in great need of you. Will you please touch each one of us where we are at so that we are able to honor you and please you. Help us to be gracious toward one another. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.